Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Wednesday, July 12th. A lot going on. Currently watching the Gold Cup, Jamaica playing Canada in the semifinals, which we will be talking about. We're going to go down memory lane with college football today. And the ESPYs happened, so we'll go through some of the ESPYs awards, see kind of what we thought happened, what didn't happen. Major League Baseball All-Star Game happened yesterday. We'll be talking about baseball next week. We'll be our mid-season check-in with baseball. I was going to do that today, but our pal Jacob Caldwell's pup, Bailey, was sick. Mm-hmm. So hopefully she's feeling better, and we'll get to baseball next week.
Yeah, get well soon, Bailey.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if I met her or not, or if I'd already moved when he got her. Anyway, a lot to talk about still, though. Again, we're doing ESPYs, college football, and the Gold Cup / soccer in general. In a somewhat undecided order, we didn't really finalize that. What do you want to do first?
Let's do, we're watching the Gold Cup. Let's talk about the Gold Cup.
I have a few things I've been venting to Matt about incessantly, and Matt was finally like, let's just talk about it.
Yeah.
So...
Well, the thing that's weird about it is you seem to be angry at me as if I decided to send Christian Pulisic to the Nations League and not to the Gold Cup.
Well, that's exactly what I'm complaining about. The Gold Cup, to me, is CONCACAF is North Central America. Europe is obviously like the Euros. It's a big deal. South America has a Copa America. For North and Central America, the Gold Cup is their tournament, their huge tournament, the important tournament. And for Europe and South America, it's a significant tournament. If you win the Euros, if you win the Copa America, it is a massive deal.
Yeah.
And for some reason that I have yet to understand, the CONCACAF also has a tournament called the Nations League, which I think is relatively new. And they played it literally like a month ago. So they had a tournament a month ago, right before the Gold Cup. And the United States had their, like, Christian Pulisic, like, not their World Cup roster, but basically their A team playing the Gold Cup, in Nations League, which we won because we're the best team in North and Central America, I think, by a mile. I think that's not debatable. I don't know what you would say, but we're going the right way and Mexico's going the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, Canada would have something to say about it because they won the World Cup qualifying, but... I think, you know, given performances in the actual World Cup and in the Gold Cup where we actually play Canada, I think the U.S. is a better team for sure.
United States are ranked 11th in the world. I don't think Canada's in the top 20. I could be wrong on that. I don't remember seeing them.
Yeah. No, this is... And we're going to get back to your complaints, but... So Mexico has an interim coach for this Gold Cup. They've been very, very frustrated with their results. I'm going to look up... Well, I'm going to try to type whether Mexico got out of the group stage in the World Cup. So they've got an interim manager here. They're up 2-0 on Jamaica right now. It looks like they're very, very likely going to win this game. So they'll be playing Panama in the finals. It feels like that's going to be a really, really important thing for Mexico, despite the fact that they have an interim coach. I think they really, really need to win the Gold Cup.
Well, yeah. Well, because they just got smoked by... Not smoked, but we beat them pretty confidently, I would say, in the Nations League.
Yes. So they beat Saudi Arabia, but did not get out of their group in the World Cup.
Yeah, I was going to... Because they were in the same group as Argentina, I think.
Yeah, Argentina beat them 2-0. They tied Poland, but it wasn't enough.
I think they played Poland 2 years in a row, like two World Cups in a row.
Interesting.
Because I remember when I lived in Arizona, maybe this was... Oh, no, that was Poland-Colombia. Mexico played somebody, though, that was like... Maybe it was Mexico-Germany. Anyway.
Yeah. Really quickly, my absolute favorite World Cup story, I think the best thing that happened is when Mexico needed South Korea to beat Germany so that they could go to the knockout stage, and then they do. Or maybe they needed to tie. I don't remember the exact situation. Anywho, so they go out and they're celebrating, and they just pick up this Japanese guy because he's an Asian person and start throwing him up in the air because they were so happy and they didn't know the difference between... And, like, I don't know the difference by sight of a South Korean and a Japanese person, but just the joy of, like, we're so happy for you and your team. We want to lift you and throw you up in the air. I just love that.
See, I was going to ask, and maybe that's the answer, but what's been the best moment for Mexican soccer in the last whatever? Was it that? Was it almost getting out of the group in the World Cup?
No, well, that time they did, because that was in 2018 in Russia.
They get out of the group in the World Cup?
Yes, because of the South Korea thing. No, they've won the Gold Cup more recently than that, I would think.
Because I just feel like they've been on it last, like, 4 to whatever years on a downward trend. And no, a pretty steep one for international standards.
Sure, yeah. No, they've been having a really rough go of things really recently. And so, yeah, and it's just like, you know, I think they're kind of in a problem where I don't think talent is not relevant at all, because I do think a lot of their best players are aging out of the program, and for whatever reason they haven't been able to, you know, their young guys just aren't performing. But they, you know, it is true, I don't really think they've had a good coach in place. I mean, Tata Martino, I don't think, did a good job. And they've just had a really, really rough time figuring out a coach, but also just, you know, who's running the academy, getting players in. They've had a really rough go of things.
Which kind of comes back to my complaint, and interrupt me when you find what you're looking for, but Gold Cup was the United States for the taking, and we played our A guys in the Nations League.
Yeah.
We kept Matt Turner, who was our World Cup goalkeeper. He was captain. I would say our best field player was Jesus Ferreira. Would you agree with me?
I mean, in terms of goals, absolutely. It's disappointing to get 2 hat tricks in the group stage and then only score 1 goal the rest of the tournament. He I think was, if not the most talented, certainly the player that played the best.
And he didn't even make the World Cup roster. He was a snub and the last guy off the World Cup roster.
Yeah.
But we didn't play anybody significant from the World Cup in the Gold Cup, and we were playing in the Nation League. And I'm just trying to figure out, is it because of something with, like, the transfer window? Like, Christian Pulisic is in Milan, Italy today. Like, if that's the case, then CONCACAF's got to play it earlier. Yeah. Like, why would the U.S. not try to win the Gold Cup and win the Nations League thing that no one's ever heard of before?
Yeah.
Why? I just don't understand. I don't want to watch Mexico win the Gold Cup. I want us to win the Gold Cup.
So really quickly, Mexico did win the Gold Cup 2019. That's, you know, the last, I think, big Mexican soccer moment, I would say. So the thing with the Nations League is, the Nations League is kind of like, I mean, they have Nations Leagues in, I think, Europe is the most famous one, where there's like an A tier, a B tier, and a C tier. And so all the Nations League was, the trophy that we won was, is that we won our group. There's 4 groups in tier A. And so if you win your group, you just go to a real quick knockout stage, but it's only semifinals, finals. And so I think the reason that the U.S. prioritizes this is because we only have to have our players playing 2 games max with the Nations League, whereas the Gold Cup, you're playing 3 group stage games and then 3 or 4 more knockout games. So that's the reasoning, is you're letting your players rest, which makes sense, especially... Now I'm getting mixed up with track. It's good, I think, for the players in that they get to rest. Summer really should be a time off. I don't love summer international tournaments because I think players really do need a break and let their bodies kind of, you know, shut down. At the same time, you know, we've got the World Cup coming up in 2026. I really want to get these guys reps playing a little bit more together. So maybe we don't send the A team to the Gold Cup every year, but since we did Nations League last year, I thought this year would have made a lot of sense for our A team to go to the Gold Cup. So, yeah.
I will say, if rest is a thing, then that's true. Because soccer has the shortest off season out of any sport. It's like a month and a half.
Yeah. Well, that was, I think, what happened to Chile. They win the Copa America 2015, 2016. They go to the final of the Confederations Cup in 2017, and then they don't qualify for the World Cup in 2018. I think part of that is you play your whole season that goes basically from September to May, and then you got to play a big, high-stress summer tournament. Like, at some point that's going to come back to you, especially the Chilean team that was really old. U.S. is a little bit different because we've got so many young players.
Well, most of the Chilean, I mean, not, I feel like we always go back to Chile, which is fine. Great. But most of those Chilean players were playing in Germany, which I would say is the most physical league in Europe. I don't know if there's stats behind that, but I would say Germany's the most physical. I think Premier League's a close second.
Yeah.
Like, so they're just getting beat up on top of all these.
Yeah, that can teams. Be physical. I think the Serie A in Italy can be quite physical. But certainly, yeah, no, we did have a lot of German players at that time.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I'm just annoyed watching Mexico. If we were winning it, I wouldn't be complaining as much, but I just don't want to see Mexico win a tournament we could have easily won. And to me, it's a big tournament.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Panama looked really, really good. I know this was kind of the B or the B-plus team or whatever you want to call it for the U.S. But Panama looked really, really good. They were fast. They were getting into their spaces they wanted to. That 66% of the possession.
Panama's consistently, and, I think, a very good.
Yeah, Panama's team. A really good team. And so Mexico, I mean, they look good today against Jamaica. But if they're not on their A game, then Panama's going to win that game.
Well, I'm cheering for Panama.
Yeah.
That's probably Sunday, right? That final. Yeah.
Shout out to Gabriel Arjona, who's or my Panamanian friend, probably more than yours, but
yeah, I like the guy, but you're definitely closer to him.
Yeah, he'll be excited. So, shout out Elder Arjona.
Yeah. Now, my favorite moment in Mexican soccer before we move on. Came from the Copa America. I don't know if you recall this.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
So, our cousin married a girl whose family's from Mexico, and our cousin also served his mission in Chile with us. So, in 2016, oh, that was a while ago.
It was a while
ago. Holy cow. Yeah. Chile played Mexico in the Copa America. I think it was the semifinals, maybe the quarters.
First round out of the group stage, so whatever.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
So, we went to their house to watch the game, and we had like tacos. I think we had a little Chilean food as well, but we had like a little bit of both, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But our cousin's wife, who is also our cousin, she's super nice, but she's more into sports than most of our boy cousins, I think. She's
yeah.
obsessed with Utah football, loves Mexico soccer, really awesome. So we were super stoked to watch the game with her. And Chile just destroyed. Literally, they won 7-0. Just
yeah.
laying it on. But after the fourth goal, me and you weren't even celebrating anymore just because we felt bad.
Right.
Because she was so, because we were excited, but she cares. And we get stoked about Chilean soccer. She loves it, though, way more than us. So she was so depressed. It was so awkward and so funny, though. But it was like the Germany-Brazil game, which is the best World Cup game of all time. Just laying it on. Mexico was just so defeated. It was
yeah.
so funny to watch.
Yeah, it's hard to celebrate and be happy when a nice person is sad. You know, like, I can gloat if BYU beats Utah once every 10 years, you know.
Yeah.
But with a nice person like that, it's hard to celebrate, you know.
Yeah, I felt bad. It was funny, though. It was a good time.
It was fun.
Okay, so should we switch to college football?
Let's do it.
So, this is an idea I got from someone at Barstool, who I've been vocal. I'm not a big Barstool guy, but this guy had a good idea. He went through every power conference and listed his favorite player of all time from each school. So, I was like, I can do that. So I did. And I'm actually going to write an article on it. Mexico, Jamaica stopped it. So, what I'll do is I'll write an article every school, Power 5 school, every player, with a cup, like, you know, little blurb on player, probably some more on other players than others.
Mm-hmm.
But thought we'd go through some of the players today, just give you guys a little sneak peek and little nostalgia, little memory lane for some of these college football players. I'm interested to see how many, you know, we're not going to go through all, like, 65 or whatever of them.
Right.
I actually don't even know how we want to do this.
Why don't you go through, I mean, I can pick out a couple schools. Do you have them for every school?
I have them for, like, most of them. Like, Oregon State, UCF, A&M, Indiana, like, schools like that. I'd say, like, 90% I have them, though.
Well, why don't you pick, you know, three or four players that you really like, and then at the end, if we still want to go, I can name a couple of schools that I'm curious about.
Yeah, there's one player I want to talk about that I know you'll know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from Texas. Do you remember Aaron Ross?
Cornerback?
Yes.
Yes.
Married to a track star.
Yes. Now, I don't know anything about his football. He played for the Giants.
Yes, but, played for the Giants after Texas.
Yeah, married to Sonia Richards Ross, holder of the American 400-meter record for probably about another month until Cindy McLaughlin breaks it in the World Championship, seems very likely.
Yeah.
So
Aaron Ross was, cornerback at Texas. He played mostly with Colt McCoy. Might have been like a freshman on the Vince Young team, but primarily on those Colt McCoy teams.
Yeah.
That were really good. The reason I like him, I remember I was watching him, and it was the first time I like noticed a cornerback make a play like with his eyes.
Uh-huh.
Like, so Texas is playing cover two, so Aaron Ross is like sitting in the flat like by the line of scrimmage. But he notices a quarterback looking downfield, so he just leaves his receiver and like drops back because the slot receiver had ran like a corner route or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Ross just like totally abandoned his guy because he's so instinctive, and the quarterback didn't even expect him to be there because he knew Texas was playing cover two. And just easy interception, way cooler actually watching than just how I'm describing. But I was so impressed. It was so instinctive, so smart. I was like, this guy's the man. So I loved him. I knew you'd appreciate him.
Yeah.
Because of Sonia Richards Ross.
Shout out Sonia Richards Ross.
Yeah. Yeah, I think these are going to go pretty quick. So this won't be a huge part of the thing before we skip to the ESPYs.
Mm-hmm.
Another player, this is an old school one. Most of the players I tried to pick, like someone I like actually watched and had nostalgia at that school.
Uh-huh.
But USC, I had to go with Sam Cunningham.
Interesting. Got it.
Do you remember Sam Cunningham?
No, I do not remember.
He is the guy who beat Alabama so bad that they integrated.
Oh. Yeah. That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, and I wrote an article on that. Well, I mentioned it in an article I wrote, but Sam Cunningham played for USC in the 70s. Alabama was one of the last schools in the SEC to integrate. USC went down and played Alabama in Birmingham. Sam Cunningham had like four touchdowns, just absolutely dominated USC, and Bear Bryant, who had been trying to get the administration and the fan base to get on board with it, after that game, next season they had two black players on the team.
Yeah.
They had integrated, so... Yeah. Sam Cunningham's most influential man, I think, in college football history.
There's a good case for that.
Yeah.
Now, he is a running back, quarterback.
Running back.
Yeah.
Yeah. The man. Super
back,
cool.
Back in the days when running backs scored four touchdowns a game.
Yeah. Now, here's another, like, mid-2000s guy from Oklahoma State. I think you'll remember him. Not by name, but Martell Van Zandt. I didn't even remember his name. I had to look him up.
Yeah.
He was the deaf cornerback. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So Oklahoma State had a cornerback who was deaf. His mom had gotten chickenpox when she was pregnant, which caused, I don't get the logistics of that, but that's what happened. So, and a lot of college football teams use hand signals, but they would, Oklahoma State's defense exclusively used hand signals to signal to the defense, and the whole student section, instead of clapping, would do the clapping in sign language, is kind of doing like jazz hands.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
Right, but yeah, people know the sign language.
Yeah.
Clapping, I think.
So I thought that was super cool for him, super cool for Oklahoma State. So Martell Van Zandt made the list.
Shout out Martell.
Let me look at someone else. Patrick Willis from Ole Miss, obviously. Coolest player ever.
Yes.
My favorite 49er as well.
You're a big Patrick Willis guy.
Now, there's one player who made the list twice.
Oh.
Two different schools.
Two different schools.
Friend of the show.
Is it the dude you play basketball with that played for Cal?
No. Who's that? Oh, Will, that guy.
Yeah.
No, Will's great. For Cal, I put EC.
Ah, that's so a good fella. One.
Patrice Rene was a cornerback from North Carolina and transferred to Rutgers.
Oh, yeah.
He was born in Haiti. Grew up in Canada and moved to the United States.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was fun to talk to.
Yeah, no, that guy was cool. We do got to get Will back on the show, though. I'll text him.
Yeah.
He was cool. Let me see who else you'd recognize here. Shaq Quarterman from Miami was a linebacker. I wrote about him in an article. A lot of guys I've mentioned before in different writings here and there.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, if you like him, you like him. Tennessee. Now, you're going to know this guy not by name, though. Rashawn Golden.
Yeah, don't know him by name.
He's a guy who flipped off the Alabama fans after another Tennessee player scored.
Oh, that was a fun time.
What a legend that guy is.
Yeah, man. Those, because I feel like Alabama, at least in recent years, have been bigger rivals with... I think the Auburn thing was really, really big for a long time, and now it's kind of shifted to Georgia. But I feel like because Tennessee's got good, it's been good for the country to realize, oh, these are the two teams that hate each other the most. Yeah,
that's hatred-wise, that's the biggest one in the SEC is Tennessee-Alabama.
Yeah, definitely.
I would say actually the whole country.
Yeah.
Obviously, Alabama-Auburn has its own unique thing. Ohio State's Michigan's typically a bigger game nationally. But I'm glad Tennessee's good just because that third Saturday in October, that's why when Henry Toa transferred from Tennessee to Alabama, I was shocked. I was like, what is wrong with Tennessee where someone would go to Alabama?
That is kind of crazy.
So
yeah, no, as far as hatred rankings, that'd be a fun one to do. But I think top three are absolutely, in no particular order, Alabama, Tennessee, Michigan, Ohio State, BYU, Utah. I think those are your top three contenders.
People not from the state of Utah don't get like how intense the Utah BYU game is.
Right.
In my group chat at work, I posted a picture of Cedric Benson, another Texas player. Do you remember him? Running back from, like, I think he was on that Vince Young team.
Yeah, sounds very familiar.
Man, those Texas teams in the mid-2000s were sick.
They were fun.
They were super cool.
I know. I want Texas to be good at football again.
But anyway, so I posted a picture because I talked to a guy named Cedric Benson who spelled his name differently.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, oh, I talked to a guy named Cedric Benson. And then I posted a picture of the Texas guy. And then literally within two comments, someone brought up, like, Utah or BYU. And for, like, a day and a half, that's all the group chat was talking about. And I was like, can we talk about something else? Guys, it's intense. No, but yeah, Tennessee-Alabama was a legit hatred. Super fun. I'm glad Tennessee's getting better because it's a fun game. Next year, Alabama will have a new quarterback. Tennessee returns, I think, a lot of good guys. It should be a good game again.
Yeah.
In Tuscaloosa this year.
In Tuscaloosa, very good.
In Tuscaloosa. So let's do two more. And again, this is what the article is going to be. A lot of, like, kind of players. If you're our age, like, you, I think you'll kind of know mostly who they are. There are some newer guys who played within the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just do a couple more. Illinois. I don't know if you remember this team. Remember when Illinois went to the Rose Bowl in like 2008 or 7 or something like that?
Yes, I do remember that.
So their quarterback was named Juice Williams.
Yes.
And he was sick. He had like the classic quarterback helmet with like a visor. They played in a game against Ohio State. He dominated, just aired the ball out. They ended up losing the Rose Bowl, but he was sick. That Illinois team was dope. Uh-huh. And they had, like, instead of the I, they had, like, the script Illinois.
Yeah.
And it's just like the Giants. Like, the script Giants decal looks way cooler than just the NY thing.
Right.
I don't know why more teams don't do that.
Yeah. Especially because it's just, like, a block I, you know, I don't think it looks.
Yeah.
But Illinois could be really, really... I mean, I know they've had okay basketball teams, but I think they could have a good football team and an even better basketball team.
Yeah. No, they should be, because Illinois, like Chicago specifically, the problem with Illinois, and actually Northwestern, because I tweeted about, because Pat Fitzgerald got fired, the head coach.
Right.
So I tweeted, like, Northwestern's going to be an interesting college football case, because the Big Ten has that TV deal, all that money, which means all the coaching money, cool for assistants, recruiting base, versus Northwestern is a tougher school to get into, which means it's tougher to recruit to, not... I don't want to say no, like, support from the administration, but it's not like Alabama.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're playing Ohio State, you're playing Michigan, you're playing Penn State, you're playing now USC and UCLA, so it's going to be tough to do anything significant year in and year out, but is the money at Northwestern worth more than, like, maybe a better place set up somewhere else?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see who takes that job.
It's interesting.
Man, there's one more player I wanted to talk about. I can't remember which one I'd, like, picked out, though, that I thought you would enjoy. Obviously, Iowa State is easy. It's currently the best quarterback in the league.
Iowa State has the best quarterback in the league?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, not a... still mad at Iowa State from... they played BYU in the... not the preseason, like, but before the conference. And they were ranked really, really high, so it was very important that they beat BYU. And one of their players just jabbed Eric Meek in the eyes, and I've hated Iowa State ever since.
Well, they did... you know, that is home for Brock Purdy, so I did you have to forgive him a little bit, but...
I don't know. I don't know.
But the guy I was going to bring... I lost him again. Dang it. It wasn't Brock... oh, it was Auburn. Do you remember that 2013 Auburn team that went to the national championship?
I do.
So Nick Marshall was a quarterback, a converted quarter... speaking of hatred, Auburn, Georgia is another one that, because Auburn isn't as good as they could be, doesn't get as much... and Georgia's kind of handled him pretty well the last little bit.
Right.
But Auburn, Georgia, that's a big rivalry as well.
That is, yeah.
It's something we need. But, like, they had the Hail Mary that got dropped a couple times by Georgia players. Auburn scored on that, like, 75-yard touchdown. They had the kick six. That's probably my favorite team where I don't care about. Like, I don't care if Auburn wins or loses.
Yeah.
But that 2013 team was the funnest team to watch.
Right.
And Nick Marshall gets a nod just because he was a quarterback on that team.
Yeah.
The kick six, that's the best football game I've ever seen in my life.
That was a great, great
game. Fantastic game.
And, like, yeah, people forget because of the kick six because it was so iconic. But everything before it was just so tight, a lot of great plays.
Yeah. And it had, like, defensive stops, missed field goals, big offensive plays. I think, like, a score like that, 31-28, is, like, a perfect football score. Because yeah. I don't want to see, like, 52-49.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I want some idea that the defense could... but also, like, 3-0, like, let's do a little bit here. You know
yeah.
What I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, that was a perfect game. Maybe we'll rewatch that sometime.
Yeah, I can rewatch that sometime.
But, yeah. So, again, if you're a college football fan... I enjoyed going through listening. I don't have every school yet. Like, I still need to pick out somebody for Iowa and Pitt. But just a little blurb on some throwback players. Other than Sam Cunningham, everyone's in the last 20 years just because it's someone I was nostalgic about growing up with. One thing, kind of transitioning from to the ESPYs, but I'm a big College Game Day fan. I think most college football fans are. But more and more, I'm kind of leaning toward the Fox pregame kickoff show. The reason why, like, ESPN just fired David Pollack, who was awesome.
He was good, yeah.
They fired Steve Young, which makes me want to fight whoever made that decision.
Yeah.
And Fox has Reggie Bush, Brady Quinn, Matt Leinart. And those are the guys, when we were in, like, 4th to 6th grade or 6th to 7th grade, whatever, like, those were the stars of college football, and that's when I started watching it, when we started watching it. So the Fox show, for me, is just, like, super nostalgic. So
right.
It's getting harder and harder to be a full-on game day guy
yeah.
for those reasons. That being said, should we talk about the ESPYs?
Let's do talk about the ESPYs.
Now, this you kind of did more research on this than me, so you're just going to go through some of the awards and talk about kind of who won, who we think should have won, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah, and I mean, most of these really, I think, that we'd agree with for the most part. One that I think you'll probably have some opinions on, best college athlete in men's sports.
Okay.
They picked, do you have a guess?
Give me the finalists.
I do not have the finalists. I couldn't find the finalists.
Oh, it just has a winner.
I'll tell you, it's a football person.
It is a football person?
It is a football person.
Is it Caleb Williams, then?
It is Caleb Williams.
Okay.
So, which, like, if you win the Heisman, that's a really good...
I feel like, yeah. And they're going to... Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I guess, I mean, I don't really have an opinion. I think Kenneth Rooks, which, by the way, we didn't talk about the U.S. championships, and I won't make us today.
Oh, we can do it.
Kenneth Rooks had just an outstanding steeplechase, fell down, won the whole steeplechase. He had a phenomenal season. I would have, you know, nominated him. I would have liked him to be a finalist. But it's the ESPYs, you know, they're going to pick a football or basketball yeah. player. So, no complaints from me, but...
I will say Caleb Williams, anything I say after the Caleb Williams part, I want you to remember this. Because he's, I think, the best... He's been... In my opinion, the best high school prospect since Trevor Lawrence. Not as good as Trevor Lawrence, but like the best in, what is that, 5 years, 6 years, something like that?
Sure, yeah.
Super talented guy, game changer. I think he's going to be a top, like Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow level quarterback in the NFL. I think that highly of him. I think all the hype is real. Dylan Cruz, LSU baseball, he ended his career with 75 games in a row with a hit or getting on base.
That's a lot.
That's like a Barry Bonds type stat.
Yeah.
So I think that could have been Mexico just scored again.
They did.
So I feel like Caleb Williams, like, as good as he is, it's kind of just an easy pick and something to get talked about. I think, like you said, the Rooks guy, Dylan Cruz, I'm sure there's some other athletes worth consideration. I would have picked Dylan Cruz, not having a high-level understanding of some of the smaller sports.
Sure, yeah.
So,
And that's the thing. Like, there's somebody in water polo who had a killer season that we just don't know about.
Right, exactly. But again, Caleb Williams is as good as it gets in college football. So I don't hate the pick, but I do think it's just easy to pick the Heisman winner.
Right, yeah. Seems very obvious.
Yeah. So I think I would have probably got – I think Dylan Cruz had a better year for LSU than Caleb Williams did for USC. But
right. Yeah.
It is what it is.
Cool.
Give me another one.
This one... Oh, I had one that I wanted to... let's talk about this, and then I'll find it later. Best comeback athlete is an NBA player.
Okay. Because next year it's going to be DeMar Hamlin, no matter what happens.
Right. Yeah, he won... Well, no, he didn't. When he presented the Pat Tillman Award for Service to the Bills training staff...
Well, I'm saying, like, next year when he comes back,
yes,
it'll be it no matter what.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Comeback, it's an NBA player. Was it an injury?
It was an injury.
Was LeBron James injured?
It was an injury from a while ago.
Was it Jamal Murray?
It was Jamal Murray.
I think that's pretty good on my part.
Yeah.
Getting that.
Yeah, no, that is good.
Yeah.
I was... The thing about... I don't know. And Jamal Murray played great. We've both been quite bullish on Jamal Murray. You more so than me. The only thing is, like, I know he wasn't ready to play last year, but I think that, you know, having two full years to kind of recover, basically two full years, I feel like I was expecting him to come back and play well. You know, I was not surprised that he came back and killed it and played a role on a championship team.
Fox just showed a close-up of Jamaica's head coach, and it looks like a cool running situation.
Yeah.
Want to say that. Yeah, I honestly didn't think he'd be... The only reason I didn't think he'd be Murray right off the bat, I didn't think he'd be eligible
for it. Right, yeah.
So, but, yeah, he's a fantastic player, and I'm glad he's back up to form, because when he's healthy, he's awesome, and it obviously... Obviously, Jokic is more important, but, like, without Murray, they're a conference semifinals type team, and with Murray, they're an NBA championship team. So, don't hate the pick. I'd have to, like, think of, like, who else would even be, an option to pick, but I don't hate the Murray pick there.
Right. Well, let me just... I'll give you a couple that I think... That I think you'll probably guess, but I'm also curious. And then one that I'm not qualified enough to talk about. So I'm interested in your opinion. So, best college athlete women's sports.
Oh, it has to be Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark. Very good. That's correct. Best tennis player.
Oh, I'm going to say the new kid. I actually don't know his name. Not Djokovic, but he's like tan.
Yeah, he's from Spain. I don't know his name.
That's not him, I guess.
No.
Is it Djokovic?
It is
Djokovic. Okay.
Djokovic.
Did you see... I saw a highlight of that kid, and tell me his name when you look it up, but like he served a ball, and it was long, so the other guys like hit it back to him, and the guy caught it like with his tennis racket... Just, like, landed the ball on his tennis racket with, like, no bounce or anything like that.
That's crazy.
It was insane. Tennis players are so good. Wimbledon final. Next week, we're going to have baseball. Wimbledon final will have happened.
Yeah.
Also, because we'll be in California, we'll have to do the Women's World Cup preview next week.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to have quite a show next week.
Yeah. No, tennis is the sport that, like, people, like... understand the golf is hard. They watch golf and like, I cannot do that. I don't know if there's enough appreciation for tennis. Because really, like, before we took that tennis class, I could hardly hit the ball back across the court. And like, I'm not the best athlete, but we did pretty much every sport growing up. I think we can do
it. You're coordinated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's hard to do. Like,
it is.
With your wrist strength and the angle and the speed and everything. Tennis is... you know, when people talk about the sports that require the most skill, they never talk about tennis, and they should.
You know, that comedian, Ryan Hamilton, who you actually showed me, he, when he was talking about the Olympics should have, like, a control group, like, just a regular person to help understand how incredible these athletes are.
Yeah.
Tennis would be something I would watch that in for sure.
Yeah, that would be a good
like, Andy Murray playing, like, just some person in the stands in Wimbledon.
Andy Murray would hit the person in the face over and over again, and there would be nothing they could do.
I would literally pay for that.
It would be a lot of fun.
I would buy the pay-per-view for that. I honestly would watch it more than, like, a regular tennis match.
Right. Absolutely. And really quickly, just because I don't know about it. Best golfer. Do you have a guess?
Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, they did give it to Scottie Scheffler.
Scottie Scheffler's the man. I will say I liked him before he got big.
Yeah.
That's like when people are like, oh, I like that band before they blew up.
Uh-huh.
Scottie Scheffler's my golfer.
Yeah, like that's that. Cool. That's why, you know, we haven't talked about Usain Bolt on here so much because that was kind of before we started doing the podcast. But that's why I'm such a Bolt fan is because I knew about him before.
You were talking about him, like in high school. I felt like
junior high. I wrote an article in the junior high newspaper about Usain Bolt, which they did not ask me or probably want me to write, but they published it anyway.
I honestly forgot our junior high had a newspaper.
I don't think anybody read it, but it was fun for me to do.
I feel like that's one of the things where it's like more for the people writing it than the actual.
I mean, that's true of everything, you know, maybe basketball and football in high school, but everything, choir, band, soccer, it's just for the people doing it, which is the point in high school, like let people do activities and figure out what they want to do and what they like, you know?
Yeah.
Like we weren't helping out the school at our cross country meets.
Yeah, we put it like that. Yeah, it makes sense.
So.
All right, well, let's do this. This is a top five, and this is on the spot, because I was so busy with the college football players list. I'm going to be honest, I forgot about the top five.
Uh-huh.
We'll go back to soccer, though.
Okay.
We'll do top five men's soccer teams to be a fan of. International.
Top five teams? You mean, like, which have the most fans?
No, or? I mean, like, what country would, like, enjoy being an international soccer fan the most? So, like, if you were... Like, England's not going to make the list, because that would suck to be an English fan.
Oh, yeah. Like, what would be the most fun?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah.
And again, this is literally off the top of my head, so I might go 1-5 on this one.
Deal.
But number one, and not obviously 2022 is Argentina, obviously.
Sure.
We're not counting, like, just 2022. We're talking kind of general.
Right.
Number one, I'm going to say Germany.
That's a good pick.
Two, I'm going to say Spain.
Okay.
Three, I'll say Brazil.
Yeah.
That's the only reason they're not number one is because the 7-1 game.
Sure.
Number four, I'll say France. I think France is underrated. They've won two World, like, won the 98 World Cup, finals of 2002, won the 2018 World Cup, finals of 2022.
Yeah.
They've had a lot more international success than I think you would assume they have.
Yeah, no, if you're hopping on right now, France is a good pick for sure.
And five, I hate to say, but I'll say Argentina just because they've had two of the three. Two are, at worst, two of the four best players in the history of the game.
Right.
Messi and Maradona.
Definitely.
So, Germany, Spain, Brazil, France, Argentina.
Yeah. So, thing with Argentina, I think you're right. They're definitely on the top five because of those players. But Argentina's had a lot of pain. I mean, Messi did not win an international trophy until 2021 or 20 or something. Like, it took him a really long time to do it.
Well, that's why I didn't want to put him higher, but I felt like Italy was the team I was, like, flirting with because they've won, I believe, four World Cups?
Yeah.
And Argentina's only won the three, so that's only one less, but that's a significant one.
Right.
But also, Argentina can say, like, who's the best Italian player? Is it Buffon? Is it someone who was before we were playing? Is it...
I would say Buffon, absolutely.
Buffon, yeah, like... And they have Maradona and Messi.
Who's a goalkeeper for anybody who's unfamiliar?
Yeah, a very good one.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
Very good, but that's not, like, it's not going to get anybody excited.
So that's the only reason I picked Argentina ahead, just because. But yeah, the lows for Argentina, I think, well, I mean, Italy missed the last two World Cups. But yeah. I feel like losing in the finals is worse than not making the World Cup.
Yeah, cool.
So, I don't know.
Nice.
So that's what I would say.
Okay, well, I think Brazil's got to be higher just because, you know, I know they had that 7-1 game, but they're always going to go to the World. They've never not qualified for the World Cup.
They should be ahead of Spain. You're right.
Yeah, they've never not qualified for the World Cup. They're always going to have phenomenal players. They're always going to be fun to watch. So I might put Brazil number one. And then I want to give kind of a, I don't know if they're top five, but I think sort of a dark horse, and maybe this is just because I like them. But I'm going to say Ghana.
Okay, if you would have said Peru, I would have punched you.
No. No. Well, and Ghana I think is cool. I mean, they've had a lot of success in these African tournaments. They've done well in the World Cup. And these African teams are fun just because, and I don't think this is a controversial point, African teams absolutely have the best uniforms in the World Cup. Like, something like Puma and whoever is doing the World Cup uniforms always says, okay, this is an African team. We have to give them something glorious.
The Essien jersey you have, like the Ghana jersey.
Michael Essien.
For Michael Essien is sick.
Yeah. Yeah, so they always have, and Nigeria has been more famous in recent years with their jerseys, because the green white jersey is cool.
Ivory Coast jerseys are typically cool.
Yeah.
With like the elephant and like the vibrant colors and stuff like that.
Right. And so those teams are fun. And sometimes it's fun to cheer for a dark horse, right? Like Brazil is like, yeah, you're gonna win a lot, but people kind of expect you to win. It's fun when your team surprises you and beat somebody they're maybe not supposed to. And so for that reason, I think like a Ghana is a fun team to root for.
So last thing, again, next week we're doing baseball, Women's World Cup, and what was the third thing? Wimbledon final?
Yeah.
United States women's first game is against Vietnam, over under 7.5 goals for the U.S. women. What are you taking? I'm taking the over. Ooh, I think we can get the 8.
I don't know. I mean, women's soccer has grown so much. But
didn't we beat like North Korea like 11-1 last time though?
It was Thailand, and we were 13. I don't remember if we were 0 or 1.
I think 7 was pretty low.
Yeah, I think because if they had not, I'm gonna say the over with all due respect to Vietnam.
Yeah,
I'm gonna take the over.
The team and the country.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, a lot to talk about next week. Again, we'll tweet out the link to that college football article. Should be up this weekend, early next week probably. And we'll talk to you guys next week.